2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
Now, when you're running businesses, we get so caught up in the name and the brand and the what the heck's going on, and we've got to have the perfect logo because, of course, that becomes our front door.
Yeah.
The problem is, I find when I started my businesses, I have the artistic skills of probably a mosquito who's missing a leg.
Yeah.
No imagination, no ability to do anything. I sort of kind of know what I like, but I don't know how to get there. Enter Wayne Curtis from Notions Design, one of the most useful graphic designers, not to be confused with artistic people, but graphic designers who I have ever met, because he gets it, listens to the story, and then can be creative around the space, just what you're after. Wayne, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. It's so fantastic to talk to you. Now, Notions Design, this is not something you just sort of came up with in the last 2.5 days, is it?
No. We've been around for a while. I had a fair bit of experience. I started as a young lad, so I've been doing this for about 37 years, but my business is 29 years.
I must admit, you're probably one of the very few entrepreneurs or small business owners that I've met which haven't gone, I used to be an accountant, or I used to be this. This is what you've always done, isn't it?
It is, it is.
So was it a case of falling out of bed as a 7-year-old going, no. I need to draw on a wall?
Yeah, no, I started as a sign writer, but I was just given design work to do. So I was able to do logos for clients, and my boss said, you've just got an uncanny ability to hit it on the head each time. And I went, yeah, actually, you're right. And so that kind of, you know, that was the thing that got me started.
So how did you get into sign writing?
I was actually studying, I was working under a neighbour who was a carpenter, and he was teaching me woodwork and carpentry. And the guy that moved in next door was a sign writer, and they had one of those old-fashioned slit fences. So you could, you know, it was like every second picket was open. So I could see in, and I just started watching what he was doing, and I was getting interested. And then we started talking at the fence, and before you know it, the poor neighbour had spent a year trying to teach me how to do joints and everything. And I'm next door going, oh, I wouldn't mind getting into this sign writing stuff, you know. And that was it. That was pretty much it.
See, it's one with having two neighbours.
Yes, yes.
But it isn't interesting how we do get into things which interest us. And it's often because we're exposed to them early on in our childhood or whatever else. I mean, and you go, that really interests me. No, I have to get a real job.
Yeah.
But they're really into and so, oh, cool. Oh. So at a very early age, you started playing with your pens and your pencils and your...
Absolutely. And then moved on to brushes. And I was taught how to use a brush by a brushy. So not the stuff you see today. There's not too many brushies left out there working as a sign writer by trade. There's a few. And so I learned all that the old-fashioned way. And from that, then I started getting more involved in the visual and the design and the layout. And that's... Then I just logically moved away from sign writing. And then into, in those days, it was called ticket writing, and it was called,
because you wrote really nice numbers.
That's right. Yeah. It was called commercial art and all those sorts of things. Then I got involved and went out of the workforce again after becoming a tradesman and straight into a graphic design college. I was picked up by an advertising agency in my second year. I was literally thrown into the fire. I learned more in 2 weeks at an agency than I did in the whole 2 years I was at tech. That was awesome, but scary. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Mind you, I guess that the thing, one of the things which characterises you is the ability to think quickly on your feet, but also to stop talking and listen to what people are asking, which can be really difficult. Yes.
I learned so many skills there, and I'm grateful for that experience. Mm. Being in the back room and having, you know, guys come into me going, we've got a press ad that's booked and we need to make it happen and have to think on your feet quickly. And we didn't have the benefit of computers and everything in those days. It was still the old-fashioned way of doing things. So it was even more interesting. But it was good because it tempered me and allowed me then to take that forward into my own business. And then understanding, listening and listening to the brief, trying to understand and get my head around what my client wanted. And if they couldn't tell me, which is quite often the problem, I had to try and get it out, try and understand what it is they're saying, and then put it down on paper.
Because if you say, tell me a story, they go, well, bloody plumber, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have a story.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So there's lead-in questions that would give me an answer that I needed in order to do my job properly.
I want a logo that doesn't look like anybody else's.
That's right.
But it has to have a tap. And you're going, okay, how many ways can I draw a tap? Yeah.
A tap, really? Okay, yeah, that's unique.
That's out there. Because, of course, toilet plumbing wouldn't be appropriate for logos.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah. So there was a lot of background knowledge and learning all through that whole space. And my dad was a small business owner. So I learned a lot of stuff about looking after clients and, you know, like if you do the right thing by clients and give them the right service, and it wasn't so much about the money, it was what they got as a service and they saw value, then they would come back and use your services again. And that was probably one of the key things that I've learned running my own business, is that looking after clients, communicating well, and meeting their expectations.
Wasn't that conversations with your dad and seeing him do his thing that excited you about perhaps making that transition from working for somebody else into your business? Or
yeah,
how did that happen?
To be honest with you, I just saw my dad struggling day in and day out. I go, bloody hell, I wouldn't be running my own business for anything.
And yet,
here I am. Yeah, exactly. So, but he did say to me, you know, because we used to work there part-time serving, you know, pumping petrol, and Dad would do a service and we'd have to vacuum the cars, empty the ashtrays, put the air freshener, you know, the old-fashioned air freshener in there, and we had to clean the windows. And I'd always go, you know, why do you bother, Dad? You know, like some of these people, their cars are a mess and da-da-da. And he goes, because if they walk away and they're happy and they like this, they're going to come back and get their car serviced back here again, as long as I've done my job. And I went, okay. You know, as a 15-year-old, I'm going, that kind of makes sense.
And the cool thing is, if they don't like cleaning their car, and what they get for your dad is a clean car, then they don't need the oil change. But if you've got a chance to vacuum it, happen to get to the oil, fine. But that's not really why I'm here.
That's right, yeah.
I have a dear friend of mine who I've known for a great many years, and we're 80s kids. He had this flat top. We're talking vanilla ice flat top. Yeah. Ginger hair with a flat top. Anyway, that's
awesome.
Fine.
Great combination.
But it was this incredible flat top, and he used to go and get his hair cut to maintain his flat top. And I said to him, there's not a hair in a place. What are you thinking? And he's gone, to be honest, it's the head massage. And he was a geologist who worked in a very high intensity. He was a senior. Yeah. And he said he didn't go and get his hair cut. That was the excuse. But he goes, it's a bit naff to go and book in a head massage. I'm going to get my hair cut. But I get the head massage as a side thing. And that's the same thing. What he was getting from that was...
Yes. It's the experience. Customer service, that's right. Yeah, it's an experience. And people talk about service all the time. It's been a buzzword, and then it's been out of favour, then it's back in favour.
But it's like, this is my point of difference. No, dude, that should be the way you run your business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Absolutely. So why did you decide to do it yourself, though?
So I was working in an agency. I was in Europe with my wife on a holiday, and the agency that I was working for folded, collapsed, and they still owed me money, which is the reason I rang up to say, where the hell's the rest of my holiday money?
Hello.
Yeah. I think I was in... I can't remember what city we're in. It was Morocco, I think.
The exchange rate's really good. Yeah, Send it now.
You know, I was like gutted because there was like $4,000 we were expecting deposited. And that year, the Australian dollar was really bad. Like I took 2,000 Australian dollars in and got something like £800 back. And I walked out of the bank crying, you know.
Going, what the hell?
And then I find out there's $4,000 not going to hit my account. So we had to reevaluate. And I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to start my own business. One of the guys I've already spoken to, he's starting his own business. He needs a freelancer. That's where I'm going to start. So it's not actually the ideal way to start a business. It's a typical creative way to start a business, but not business smart.
But it's not unusual. And a lot of people have gone, I was either made redundant, so I'm going to... But often that's I was made redundant from my whatever career, so now I'm going to follow my dream. You were already playing in a space that you love.
Yes.
So what was your response of your wife?
She was pretty upset. Because we had to cancel a drive through holiday through Ireland and Scotland and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, like as per usual, we just went, okay, reevaluate, bounce back, still got a smile on our faces. We're alive and healthy and like, let's make it work. So we did. And it was a tough couple of years because primarily my clientele was ex-agency people that needed freelancers. So I was moving from agency to agency. It was cutthroat. It was horrendous, you know, trying to make ends meet.
But it does give you exposure to a bunch of different styles and different ways of running businesses and different types of designers and different types
and
of
clients.
And
again, dealing with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dealing with the middleman who's dealing with somebody else, that's a whole set of skills on its own. Mm. If you're a freelancer, you're dealing with someone who's in the middle, who's dealing with the clients. You can't, a lot of times you won't even get anywhere near the client. The client doesn't know you exist. Mm. They're dealing with the agency and whoever's working for the agency. And so quite often there's a breakdown of communication too. So that's a difficult process.
And your work comes back covered in red lines and you're going, what the hell?
Yeah. And you know, quite often that would present lots and lots of difficult circumstances. And some of them were political. within an agency. And so, yeah, look, there's a whole heap of skills that I had to learn, again, dealing in a different situation. So.
But what a journey, what a way of learning how to do things the way that's going to work for you guys.
Yeah.
So before we move on, did you manage to get back and take that holiday with your wife? Have you made it up to her?
Yes, we've done. We've had quite a few.
Brilliant.
We had quite a few, but we haven't been back to the Mediterranean. We've been there a few times. We want to go back, so that's next on the bucket list.
Right. Yep. Fantastic. So there you go. See, wife, it worked lovely. Yeah. Here we go.
It's only taken 29, 30 years, but we made it.
But you would have had to drag all sorts of people along with you. Now you can. This is how it was going to be. Just the two of you. Yeah. Okay, you're a little older, but you know, it's still just the two of you.
Jackie, like I always say, it's all part of the game. We're in a big game. We're playing our parts.
And it's a long game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, so with all of this experience you gathered on the way, clearly you now have got a pretty tidy idea of what you're doing.
Yes.
Have things changed? Have you seen the trends change of what people need over these years?
Yeah. Yes and no. It's like fashion. You know, it's like music. And design is no different. There are trends that come and go. The way fonts are used, the way we use pictograms, icons, and coming up with icons now and simplified icons is quite popular and has been for some time because of apps and phone and mobile applications. You know, whenever we're working on a brand mark now, we're always doing an icon pictogram type style version of the logo as well. So the client has that flexibility. But in terms of what people are wanting, people have always wanted good service. Mm. And I think, and well, I don't think, I know that if you listen and you get to the point of what they're trying to achieve, they'll be happy because that's their expectation. That's why they're coming to you. Yeah. They're coming to you because they don't have a clue. And a lot of times they go, we need this, this and that. And they just don't know who to go to first. They don't know how the whole thing works. You know, okay, we need marketing. We need design. We need this. Like, what do we do first? How do we start this process? So obviously a lot of the medium-sized to bigger companies, that's not an issue for them. But for small business, that is. So quite often I'll just sit down and have a coffee or a catch-up or even a beer. Yeah. And they just sort of pick my brain a bit. And I just give them a bit of a guideline, a pathway as how they should really get things moving. Whether I get business out of it or not, it doesn't really matter from my perspective.
And that's the thing about having a nice, stable, mature business.
Yeah.
You can have those conversations without thinking, oh my God, that just cost me an hour of my time, now I can't pay the rent.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So there's no, because you're so well established with a great reputation, you don't have that desperation about these interactions.
Oh, I don't know. I've had a few desperate moments over the years, but you're right.
Well, yeah.
That's it in a nutshell. Yeah,
so the maturity of your business is such that you can have the time to share your knowledge without an expectation of that sell the whole time.
Yeah. Some people think that experience means nothing. But when you come down to a lot of the complaints that people have about spending money for a service and not being happy with the outcome, quite often I find it comes down to the experience of the person. Now, if you're not willing to pay for the experience, then odds are you're not going to be happy with the result because the person that you're employing to do whatever it is you need doing and you're saying, well, I only want to spend this much or I don't want to spend any more than that, you're already kind of hurting the process because you're not allowing that person to do their job properly. You're not allowing to use their experience.
If I had a limited budget, I would think that investing it with someone who has got a lot of experience, I'd actually get a better product because you're not having to go through the basic iterations of working things out. Yeah. You know how to use ABC. So what you can get achieved in an hour is far more than someone who perhaps is just learning their skill can get achieved in an hour.
Yes, no, absolutely. Because I know the processes that I need to take. Mm. I know that if I've got a limited budget on a project, I know the processes I need to take very quickly. I can get through that and get straight to the point of the matter and we can start working and get right into the guts of the project, whether that be a brochure, whether that be a brand mark, it doesn't really matter. The process is the same. Mm. Knowing the right questions to ask in order to get the right information so you're not dicking around for two or three days going backwards and forwards trying to understand each other, you know, that's a big time waster.
But that's the priceless part of working with someone with your experience and your breadth of knowledge. Yeah. Okay. So what's the most common thing that you're doing at the moment? Is it logos and business cards or is it something else?
Yeah, people come to me and go, I need a new logo. And I go,
What's wrong with the old one?
But a lot of times all they're wanting is a new business card. Mm. Or they'll say, I need a new business card, but they actually mean they want a new logo. So if I don't ask those questions, I'm already in the wrong headspace. Right now, yes, definitely still working on brand identity, people that are wanting something unique. They've either been on online and tried and failed and just got sick of it, and they just want to talk to someone they can communicate with, someone that's local, someone that can come and visit them. Mm. That all those things count. But we're doing capability statements primarily. We've been doing a lot in the last 12 months because businesses need them now as part of their tendering
service. So it's almost old-fashioned, isn't it?
It is.
Everybody had the glossy capability thing. You could drop it on the desk. Yeah. And we've moved away from even an electronic version of it. We just don't do that. We almost use our websites as our capability statement. You want to know what I do? Oh, just jump online and blah, blah, blah.
I know.
So why this shift back to a capability statement?
Well, yeah, the tendering process now is, and especially through mining, oil and gas, so you're dealing with big companies and you're tendering, and you're trying to get business and contracts. The capability statement lets them know exactly what you're about, who they're dealing with, what your experience are, maybe some case studies, so they know that you're in and around the space and you've got the experience to deal with. And that's all they want to know. A capability statement should only be short, succinct, and straight to the point, because that's all they're interested in. The person that's going to look at it, that is requesting it, is not going to want to spend an hour reading through your brochure. They want to go hit point, hit point, hit point, hit point. Okay, these guys go further into the process. Mm. Let's have a look at them. It has to be part of your submission. So it never used to be. They're doing it now as part of the whole process. So you can't not have one, depending on who you're tendering for. But government are doing it too.
Yeah. So is that almost like a snapshot of your company?
Yes. It's that this is my business. This is the experience we've got. This is the capabilities that we can perform. These are the projects or the products or the services that we sell or maintain or do or whatever. And these are the people you're going to be dealing with. This is our OH&S. If you're going to be going to a site, we need to know that guys have got all their safety requirements. Yeah. This is a couple of the clients we've worked for. We've done work for Rio Tinto, BHP, and these are a couple of the case studies.
Yeah. Why does that need a design component? Why can't I just do it like a CV and submit it as a Word document, PDF, and we're good to go? It's got the same information.
That's pretty much the difference. And it just comes down to the person that's looking at your product. If you've just thrown a couple of clip art images and some stuff off the internet onto a Word document and submit that as your capability statement, you're not really saying too much about your business. And it's not about being glossy, it's about communicating well. And quite often when people do their own stuff in Word or whatever, it doesn't communicate well and it doesn't meet the criteria.
But why can't I just use words, not Word as a program, but why can't I just make it like a CV, like a statement, a list of this is what I do. Here's your dot points. That's the information. I'm an engineering company. I do engineering and you need engineering company and here I am.
Yeah.
What is it about the design which makes a difference? It's not just making it pretty, is it?
No. It is purely about communication and your brand. So if I'm a mining company and I'm looking to take on an electrical contractor to perform a certain part of, you know, the build of this mine site, I'm going to be looking at a series of contractors that are tendering on the process. Mm-hmm. There might be 20, and there may be a couple that have got a professionally put together designed capability statement. There might be a couple that have, or the rest may be just words or done something like a CV. And clearly the ones that look like they're branded and they're professional are going to be looked at. And the difference is, as I said before, it's the communication. If I'm doing a project that's like a CV, it's not really clearly laid out. It can be quite bland looking. Yeah. There's no punch, there's no shade, there's no light and shade, and there's no contrast in information. These are all the things that you're paying an experienced designer to put together so that something reads properly and performs well and gives just the right amount of information that the look or the person that's trying to find out your business is going to get out of it. So
is it a way of standing out, looking like you're nice and blue against an otherwise beige background?
We've got people that have come to us and said, we finally got that contract. And what was the difference? It was the brochure we put together for them. And they'd say, but it was the same information. Mm. I said, yes, but it was just shown differently. It was done in such a way that they were expecting, because a lot of these people, they're working in bigger companies. They're looking at quality projects, quality businesses. They're used to a certain standard. Mm. And if you come in at the ground floor with a typed out CV type product or a Word document, for starters, they will look at you and go, is this person serious about getting our business? So they want a $200,000 contract, and it looks like they've spent 30 minutes on putting their statement together. Okay. Do I want to deal with these people?
So it's really what you're doing is catering to the performance bias of the companies that you're tendering to.
And it shows that you have some integrity and some care about the fact that you're producing something to impress somebody, as opposed to throwing something together late at night after you've already done maybe 10 hours on the tools.
Does it make me a better electrician to have a pretty brochure?
No, I don't think it does. I don't think in that regard it means anything. You could be an exceptional tradesman, but if you're not pandering to their criteria, then you're going to miss out. And we've had people that have come and said, we finally got it. And the client came back and said, finally, you put something professional together. It looks like you actually want our business and you care about getting our business. Mm. Whereas before, it didn't look like you gave a shit. Sorry.
So it's about putting forward a professional business persona.
Absolutely.
That then appeals to the market that you're going to. It doesn't comment on your skills. It doesn't comment on anything else. You're saying, this is the best version of us.
Yep.
Let's play.
Yep, let's play. And we're looking like we want to play the game too.
And we can play at your level.
Exactly, exactly.
Cool, okay.
And if you think it doesn't work like that, then you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, brilliant. So we know you do coffee. Is that the best way to start a conversation with Notions Design and yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had someone
or beer
on the phone.
Or whatever,
yeah, absolutely. I had someone ring up yesterday that was from my website that was just interested in talking about developing a business name. Because they needed to do a logo. And I was quite shocked because not many people will say, look, I need to come up with a business name first and we need your help. Mm. Most people try and do it themselves.
Because they've fallen in love with something which Auntie Sarah said.
Yeah, yeah. Or they're using their name or the family name or this or that. Or it's just too long. You know, by the time you put it on an email address or on a website address, it's like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, so it loses all meaning by the time you abbreviate
it. And so there's certain tricks and ways we can get things through it because we do a clearance on obviously domain for your website, but through ASIC and making sure that it's not being registered by someone else and that we can get it through. And then we advise their accountant to then go ahead and set the business up accordingly, and then we'll look at the brand. Yeah. And that goes a long way to helping building a solid brand mark and an identity around your business.
Mm, excellent. Yep. So it's a case of dropping you a line. I'm assuming you have
an email, a phone call. It doesn't matter. Whether I meet you at an event or let's have a chat. I need to talk to you. I just want some advice. Mm. Advice is free. I've never spent 7 hours on the phone giving someone advice, so it's not like it's going to hurt me in any way. No. I can normally give you a fair bit of information over a 20 minute phone call that can really give you a pathway to at least go, okay, that's what I need to do. Mm. And if you want ideas of costings, then we have a whole heap of packages for different brand packages, including all sorts of product included. And we can give you that and you can go, okay, well, that's what I'm up for. Great. Awesome.
Best way to get hold of you then?
Phone call, email, through the website. It's notionsdesign.com.au.
Fantastic. Final words for people who are maybe struggling with their brand identity. What would you suggest they do, obviously, other than ring your good self or have a cat?
Come back to basics. And you need to know what your business is about. You need a clear objective for your business and what you're trying to do. You also need to know who your competition is. Clearly need to know what your competition is so you can create contrast and therefore stand out in the crowd.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problems. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.